This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
I just thought business is something kind of vague. I don't really know exactly what industry I want to go into, but I could probably use business. A really big lesson has been trying to do things for myself versus doing things for the validation of other people, because no matter where you get in your career, you'll never receive the full level of validation that you want. You know, you can't be amazing at something when you first start out. Since it's all up to me how I spend my time now, I really feel guilty when I'm doing something just for fun. And I've actually had conversations even with my parents, my mom particularly, who said, you can't really be making progress and be really effective in the way you spend your time unless you have a balance, and you have to really build time to kind of clear your head and relax. And if you don't, you're just going to be freaking out and stressed and you won't be as productive.
Hello and welcome to the Passion People Podcast. You're listening to Season 2, Episode 21. The Passion People Podcast chronicles stories of people who follow their passion and make it manifest in tangible ways, so you can get inspired and one step closer to your passion. Today, we are in conversation with Pooja, who runs a content production company and follows her passion full-time. What does it take for one to do that? How do you make the transition from, you know, having a full-time corporate career to running your own personal passion gig? Are you curious to find out? Stay tuned. Pooja, first off, thank you so much for taking time to be on the Passion People Podcast. I look forward to our conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So Pooja, I think a good place to start would be to, you know, turn back the clock and tell us your story of what you do, what your passion is, and how you got here.
Yeah, definitely. So it's been quite a long road when I look back. But in the very beginning, when I was thinking about what I wanted to do for my career, I came from a pretty traditional Indian American background. And I know it's kind of cliche, but they wanted me to work in the medical field and, of course, to be a doctor. So when I was growing up, that's really the only thing I knew as a first choice option. And of course, I knew you could also be a lawyer or be an engineer, kind of these typical immigrant go-to jobs that are very practical because you'll be able to pay off any student loans that you had to take out to go to expensive universities. Or if your parents paid for your school, they can rest easy knowing that you'll make your own money. And I understand this mentality completely, but at the time, I just didn't really realize that there are other things out there. So I originally started out, I went to Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, and I was originally pre-med. And after just a year of pre-med, it became pretty clear that that wasn't for me. I even interned in a hospital, but I was so afraid of everything. I was afraid of blood and needles, and it was pretty clear that I'm not really cut out for that type of work. And so I thought, I don't really know what else there is, because I grew up thinking this was pretty much it for me. I even had a doctor cart, you know, when I was a little baby that I used as toys. Yeah. And so I really didn't know what else there was. And I needed to buy time just to show my parents, okay, I told you I don't want to be a doctor, but here's what I do want to do. And I didn't know what that was yet. So I switched into the business school. And I just thought, business is something kind of vague. I don't really know exactly what industry I want to go into, but I could probably use business regardless of what I want to do. So I was in the business school. I was also studying violin performance because I've played violin my whole life. And I think in a way that kind of satisfied the creative side of me because it's always been there. And eventually I decided I want to try to work in fashion. So, but I didn't want to work in the creative side. I thought that would be too risky to be a stylist or anything on that end. I thought, I need to do something that makes money and makes use of my business degree. So I ended up working in buying. And I worked at some different department stores and brands, including Fendi, Dior, Bloomingdale's. And I even worked at a production company called Video Fashion, which was a really cool job. It was kind of my first foot in the door of video production. And but I still was afraid, you know, to leave the corporate environment. So I ultimately ended up in a corporate fashion job. And something they don't tell you about corporate jobs is that often, even if they are in a creative, overall creative industry like fashion, if you have a role that's more, I guess, business focused, it's not going to necessarily fulfill that creative side of you. And you're really going to be sitting in a cubicle day to day and on Excel, which there's nothing wrong with that. But if it's not for something that you're really all 100% for, that can get old pretty quickly, especially if it's not satisfying the creative aspect. So I found myself in this job thinking I fought so hard to be able to even work in fashion. I can't admit to my parents or to my peers that I don't like it or that I don't want to do that. So on the side, I started kind of working with my close friend Dion, who I had met by chance in France while I was studying abroad there. We met 7 years ago and she moved to New York to go to acting school. So while I was in my corporate job, she and I together on the side started writing scripts and coming up with ideas for TV shows. And at first it was just kind of for fun. But over the years, because we worked on side projects together for years, we started to learn a little more about the process and actually be able to have the skills to make it happen. And at one point I was in one particular corporate job and I had this turning point realization where I realized not only is this not fulfilling me creatively and I really don't want to wake up one day and think, oh, wow, I've been in this job for 50 years. But I also have a personal set of values that just doesn't align anymore with the job that I'm in. There are a lot of different values. For one thing, I'm vegan. And being vegan, I don't believe in animal testing. And I was working at a beauty brand that does test on animals, as do most of the major brands. And, you know, small things like that were starting to pile up. I also care a lot about environmentalism. So, you know, when products are made and that's not the focus at all, there's also that issue. And that was all piling up in the background. Meanwhile, every single night after my 9-to-5 job, I would rush over to Dion's house and we would work on writing and production. And that's kind of how the whole thing started brewing.
So if you have to answer the question of what's your passion, what would it be?
I would definitely say that my passion is film and TV. And it's funny because I didn't actually know this is something you could work in when I was younger. It's something I was always consuming and really enjoying, but I didn't realize what it would be like to work in it. And once I started working at that one production job and then working with Dion on the side, I got to see how much fun it was and how cool it was to come up with an idea. And, you know, you come up with an idea in your head. Next thing you know, you're casting and you have all these people in front of you. They're auditioning to play a role that you made up. And it's just so wild to see something go from your brain to happening in front of you. And then after that, to a screen where everyone can see it. So I realized that passion when we started working together. I was still in my job and she was living in LA. I was taking vacation days so that I could fly over to LA, basically just work with her on casting. And it was so much fun and people at work didn't really know what it was I was doing, but I was having a great time and I would just kind of go back to work, go to my desk and just be so excited to leave at the end of the day and get to work more on our projects.
Right. So you mentioned that, you know, you did the switch from being a pre-med to, you know, a business major, right, for your bachelor's. How did your family take that? And you know, how did you make that transition in your head? Because one of the things that I personally struggle with a lot is letting go of decisions that I've thought I've made, and drawing that line is something that's that I struggle with. I'm really interested to know how you manage that phase.
Yeah, that's definitely a really difficult thing. And I think for me, a really big lesson has been trying to do things for myself versus doing things for the validation of other people, because no matter where you get in your career, you'll never receive the full level of validation that you want from the outside world. And so for me, at first, switching out of pre-med and into business, I was able to convince, well, I was basically thinking, you know, I have to live with whatever this decision is. So if other people tell me you should be a doctor, and then I just say yes to please them, that's a really, first of all, doctor of all things, that's a really long time commitment. I'll be in school for so long and so much money on med school. And, you know, that's a huge investment. So it would actually not be beneficial in the long run if I didn't like it because I wasted like 10 years and tons of money. So I thought, no, I have to take control of this now. I think the even more difficult thing was saying, I want to leave my corporate job to do something on my own and, you know, work for film production. That's something, that's a world my parents really don't know. And I think the way I was able to make that happen is just by showing results. Of course, it's difficult in the beginning because you have to learn about whatever it is you want to do if your career switch is in a field that you don't have much experience in. For me, I had to learn a lot about TV and film. And during that time, I really didn't want to be influenced by all the outside voices because, you know, you can't be amazing at something when you first start out and you have to have that learning period. So I just really wanted to protect myself at that time so that I wouldn't get critical comments from other people like, oh, you went to business school. You think you can work in film production? Why do you think you can do that? You don't have a artistic background or, you know, those types of comments. I really didn't want that to interfere with my learning process. So my big thing was basically just, I need to shut all of that out and remember that this is not for other people's validation. It's for me, because at the end of the day, those people are not going to be sitting with you in a cubicle. They're not going to do your work for you. You know, their opinions really don't matter to your own life. And so I think it's interesting because now over the past couple of years, I've done a lot within film, and the series that I've been working on for the past year and a half, it's called Amsterdam Ave, and it's a Dutch-American series. It's 6 episodes, and we went on a full screening tour, which I set up with Dion this past fall. And in that tour, my parents, they each came to screenings, and I think that was a great moment because they got to see results, and I think results speak louder than anything else. So they got to see, oh, okay, she wanted to do this. She made it happen. And when we worked with some really awesome actors, purely because they loved our script, like Catherine Curtin, who comes from a lot of Netflix shows like Stranger Things and Orange is the New Black. And I think we had a lot of small successes along the way, like getting Catherine on our show or getting Coco and Breezy, our music directors, who are they're a famous model, DJ, entrepreneur duo. So every time we would get somebody attached to the project or we would get a partnership for a screening, I think my parents saw, okay, there's progress being made.
Right. And, you know, just double clicking on the whole progress bit, right? So when you were in your corporate job or when you were in B school, there's a very structured way to grow and there's a structured way to, you know, you have a career progression. But when you're doing your own thing, how do you stay accountable and how do you measure yourself in terms of what's progress and what's not?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that's one of the hardest parts about graduating from school, because until you graduate from school, every single year that passes, you're making progress because you made it to the next year, basically. And so you don't have to worry about making life progress. It's just built into the academic program. But when you're following your own path, it can be hard, because I think something I did in the beginning is give unrealistic goals and be really hard on myself and think, okay, we're not on Netflix yet within the first year. So does that mean we failed? And then, you know, you have to zoom out and think, no, that's not how this works. It's a really long-term thing. And if you look back, you can see that there's actually been so much progress. And because we're so hard on ourselves, we don't even take a moment to recognize that. I think for me, I've been viewing, it's interesting because I chose something creative. And I think for a person who maybe makes a startup or starts their own company in that sense, it's pretty clear. It's a little more clear and easier to tell other people what your progress points are. And so I've begun to look a little bit at the production company more like a startup, which is more what it is, and the product being our content. And for us, our main goal for this show that has been our biggest project, and we've done other projects as well, but that's our biggest project, is to get picked up for a second season by a streaming platform like Netflix or Amazon. But knowing that, even though that's our highest goal, I think it's also important to keep in mind there are so many other major wins along the way that can mark your progress. And there are so many other ways things can go. For example, I think it's nice and concrete to be able to say, in the past year, we've gone from writing the script to producing the show in 2 countries to completing post-production and releasing the show. And I'm really satisfied with that for the past year. And then the year before that, I think, you know, I completed with Dion and did another series and two short films. So I think that's all very concrete. But again, it can be really hard to acknowledge that. And I think the way that I keep going is by thinking, okay, well, these are my short-term goals. These are my long-term goals. And am I getting closer to them every day? And I think the answer is yes. And I think for a lot of people, that answer would be yes. And it's just that we can be hard on ourselves and maybe listening too much again to the outside world for validation in that, because that should not ever be one of the goals, just because for your own mental health, because it's not gonna go that way.
Right. And, you know, I love the fact that, you know, you mentioned that we're so hard on ourselves. And I think this has been one of my biggest learning experiences over the last couple of years, that I always think and, you know, mull over about the narrative I have in my head about myself. And I wonder, is this how I would treat like a dear friend who's going through something? Or is this how I would treat, would I really treat someone as badly as I'm talking to myself? And yeah. You know, that's where it all comes back.
Oh, I really resonate with that, because I think a lot of people who do have passion projects, these are not people who lack motivation. You know, if you have a full-time job, that's already so much work. And then on the side, to pursue a passion project instead of like going to, you know, the movies or hanging out on your couch or taking a nap. I mean, you're basically working more. And even if it is your passion, it's still hard work. So I think those are usually not unmotivated people. And yet we always are so hard on ourselves. Something I find really difficult even now is, since it's all up to me how I spend my time now, I really feel guilty when I'm doing something just for fun. And I've actually had conversations even with my parents, my mom particularly, who said, you can't really be making progress and be really effective in the way you spend your time unless you have a balance, and you have to really build time to kind of clear your head and relax. And if you don't, you're just going to be freaking out and stressed and you won't be as productive. And I hear that and I really want to do that, but it's something I still struggle with now because I feel guilty. I keep thinking, how many more emails could I have sent out today? Because also the methods that Dion and I use, since, you know, at this point, we don't have agents yet, we don't have managers, we don't even have publicists. And the way we get our press and the way we get screenings, also without budget, is by emailing hundreds of people. And we just cold email people. And that also mentally can be very, not just draining, but it can be a little demoralizing because you're doing so much of that and you only receive, you know, a fraction of the emails back. And even if it's just a fraction, that's actually great progress, because those are opportunities that you've gone out and gotten for yourself. But at the same time, it doesn't always feel that way. So it's important to build in time for relaxation so you're not a robot sending hundreds of emails every single day and not taking time to relax and, you know, think about the rest of life activities as well.
Absolutely. And I remember attending a workshop that an actor was conducting, and he mentioned that people on average get like maybe 100 to 200 rejections in their entire lifetime. And as an actor, you know, the actor receives like, you know, maybe 10 to 20 rejections in a day, depending on how many auditions they attend. So just the fact that you're going through so many rejections itself must be something that is, you know, really draining you. So I totally hear you, and, you know, my complete respect for the amount of hustle that you folks are putting in to, you know, get the word out there.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, it really does feel good to hear things like what you just said. You know, I think surrounding myself with people who do have a passion has been really important too, because everyone who has that, they really understand the hustle. They know how it feels. They know that success doesn't come in the first month or the second month, or even necessarily the first year or the second year. And when I say success, I just mean success as determined by the outside world, not actual success, because like we said, we're always making progress. But I think surrounding myself by people who do have a passion and who are creating their own thing all on their own, that's been great too, because those people understand how much work it is. Like you creating this podcast and doing every single element yourself. And I think you can be kind of on the same page with those people. And That's been really helpful. And to your point about rejection, it's so true, because not only do we get rejection emails back, but we also don't get a lot of responses back compared to how many emails we send out, which feels like a mini rejection as well. But then the funny thing about it is that if we get even one answer back, it's usually a really, really good. That really makes it worth it. And it means that we have to keep doing it, because how else are we going to get anywhere? So we just have to keep remembering that. But mentally, I think it's helped me a lot to have a partner in all of this. You know, Dion and I, we do all of our work together. We're kind of a duo when it comes to filmmaking, and we also do all the marketing efforts together. And so I think we've been on this whole journey together the whole time. And that's been, I'm very grateful for that, because there's someone there who understands.
Yep. It's like, you know, running a startup, being a solopreneur versus having a partner in crime. So I can totally relate to how that must be, you know, so nice to have someone to go through this journey with you.
Yeah, it's really nice. And I think it's important to have the right person, because Dion and I both have everything in this. Like I ended up leaving my job, and I know I didn't go too much into it, but the job I was in, you know, it was kind of a toxic work environment. I had a bully as a boss, and I think things kind of came to a point where I thought, this isn't even going well. It's not even like I can say I have this nice job that pays well and it's going well, and I'd be a fool to give it all up to pursue my passion. I had that fire under me also coming from that angle, because it wasn't going well. I wasn't sleeping and eating because I was so anxious about what was going to happen the next day at work. So I left that job to pursue my passion full time. And of course, I have part-time jobs. I find ways, you know, to earn money. But still, when you make a jump like that, you have everything in the game. And Dion, it's the same thing. She's from the Netherlands. She moved to the US to be able to pursue her passion. And it's an interesting thing, because we both did that. And so do the characters in our show, Maya and Kieran, in Amsterdam Ave. The two of them also leave their comfortable zone so that they can pursue their passion, kind of mirroring our stories a little. It's a little different.
Right.
But so we have it on both levels. And when that's the case, you can really connect to your partner, because you're both all in.
Right. So do you ever feel like going back or, you know, is that something that you've ever considered?
I think there's definitely this element of fear that pops up every so often. It's also something that my parents definitely still bring up, because even though I've done all of this stuff, it's like, I think I could win an Emmy, and they would still say, have you ever thought about like maybe getting a PhD in like medicine? I think they still would be at it. I don't know. It's just their programming, and it's what they know, and it's what they see as, you know, almost like an insurance that you will have work forever. Even though in this day and age, there is no guarantee of that, because things are changing so much in every industry. And for me, I think every so often I do let fear creep in. And I think, oh my gosh, what if all of this doesn't happen? What if our show doesn't get picked up? What if, you know, what if? And I find that those are really unproductive thoughts, because I every time I think about it, I remember I don't want to go back into a full-time corporate job. At least not in this moment. It just doesn't feel, there were so many reasons why I left that environment. It wasn't just for this one particular show. It was also for the overall lifestyle of being a creative person who works in a creative field. And you know, I'm okay with doing part-time jobs and whatever I need to do to make money, because I know we have to be practical. I live in New York City. It's very expensive. But to actually go back full-time, I don't think I would ever want to do that, at least not in the industry where I came from. Maybe in a different industry in the future, something more along the lines of film and creative industries. But I think it's still unproductive to think about that, because it's a distraction from what I'm doing right now. And I just think, you know, we already did so much work to create this product of the show in this current scenario. It would be cheating myself not to see it through the full way. So if I skip out now, all that work was for nothing. And I really need to do this last bit, which is push it out there into the world. And, you know, you never know where that will lead, whether it will be working on another person's show, working on a different area of production. But whatever that is, I think it will definitely be very different from what I was doing before. So I don't have any regrets.
Right. I think that's the beauty of creating content, right? Because you're opening yourself up to serendipity. And, you know, that's how you reached out to me. And that's how a lot, so many of these things happen. But I think that's the beauty of putting content out there that might just resonate with somebody and might just impact somebody's life in such a meaningful way, or it might just entertain them for, you know, just for the heck of entertaining them. Right. But I think that's something really cool.
Yeah, it's, I think it takes a certain personality that doesn't want the daily grind and the, you know, the type of personality that's okay with a little bit of unknown. I used to always think I had a big fear of the unknown and I was risk averse, but I think the past couple of years have shown me something I didn't know about myself, which is that I don't think I like to be able to predict what's going to happen to me in the next year. And I definitely can't. So I got my wish. But yeah, I think, and like you said, it's really fulfilling. On our screening tour, we got to hear firsthand what all these different people thought about the show. And what I learned is that there are a lot of people out there like you and me who have full-time jobs, but they have another passion. And I think the show kind of unleashes this other side of them and lets them think it's okay to have another passion. And I can make small steps towards pursuing that passion, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think when you grow up in a world of people like I did, for example, people who in my business school world who now work at banks and consulting, it can be hard to believe that what you're doing isn't completely crazy and that you should just have a high-paying normal job. And I hope the show kind of shows people that it's okay and it's actually really cool to have a side passion and you should pursue it. And nothing else to make you happy.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned that you find it difficult to relax or take a break where you feel that you could be productive or responding to emails or working on your project. As a creative person, how do you draw the line between, just relaxing, watching a few episodes, finding or looking for something that inspires you that might take your content to a different level or, you know, just inspire you? So what would you do, or how would you draw that line or differentiation?
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing within creative industries, because for most people, entertainment is entertainment. They watch TV to relax and they're not paying, you know, super intense attention to it because this is their time to just chill out. But for me, when I'm watching TV, I'm thinking a lot more about it. I'm trying to look up the director, find out if it was a female director. That's another big thing for us. We had a 90% female crew. So we're big on, you know, promoting female content. And that means we need to be very up to date on what's out there by, you know, female directors in theaters and movies and as well as series. So I think for me, actually, pure relaxation, it's not going to be watching TV or watching movies, because I'm always going to be thinking in the back of my mind, oh, that was a good thing, or maybe that's inspiration for something, or, oh, let me look further into the writers of this episode. That will always be kind of in the background. Doesn't mean I don't enjoy it. I really enjoy it. But I think if I'm going to do something that's purely for relaxation, for me, going out to dinner with friends and hearing about their life to get a break from my own life, that's a nice way to do it. I'm also a violinist, so sometimes music, although I take that pretty seriously too. So that can still veer into the work area. But I think, you know, taking a walk outside, just these simple type of things, maybe going to a show, having brunch, stuff like that, I think is kind of nice. It distracts you. It makes time go by. And you can kind of think about something else for a little while. And for me, I love hearing about my friends' lives because it's a break from talking about my own. I'm sure you get this too. When you're following your passion and you have a lot of friends who have regular day jobs, they want to hear about your life. They're more interested in that than talking about, you know, what's going on at work for them. So you kind of end up telling that story a lot. And for me, I love to just sit back and hear about something else. I get tired of my own voice a little bit.
I hear you. You've said that when you were in your corporate job, you used to get back and rush to, you know, Dion's place to work on your production or your scripts or your content, right? Mm-hmm. So now that you do this full time, and now that this is something you know, that you do on a daily basis, so what else do you look forward to, or how do you prevent this from being monotonous?
That's a really good question. It's something I'm working on all the time. Actually, for a long time there, we were so busy with with work because we were in first writing the show and then we were in pre-production. And Dion and I were the only producers on this show. So when we were doing this show in two countries, it took up all of our time. We had no free time left. And then we were in production. Of course, we both star in the show as well. So we were acting in it and producing it. Then finally, after that, Dion edited the whole thing herself and I set up the marketing tour. So for this past year, there hasn't really been any time to think of anything else. And then now the show is all out. As of December, all six episodes, they're all on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, Fountain Avenue Productions. So just now we're starting to think, okay, it's not taking up 150% of our time now. Now we are able to have more balance. How do we do that? And to be honest, it's something I'm still figuring out. Dion's getting a dog. So hopefully that's going to be a good way to bring in some balance. I've been doing more with violin again, just so that's a different part of my brain I'm using, playing in orchestras and playing with different bands. I wish I had a very clear-cut answer for this, but it's something I'm figuring out on a daily basis right now. And, you know, if you have suggestions, I am very open to hear them. But I would say just finding other things that have absolutely nothing to do with what we do during the day to look forward to.
Right, right. I don't think I would be the best person to give you suggestions because I'm still hanging on to my corporate job while I do my passion project. But for me, what keeps me motivated and what keeps me coming back to this is conversations like this, because you have a YouTube show about two women who follow their passion. I am halfway across the world. I have a podcast about people who follow their passion. Like, what are the odds of two people around the world who are sitting and talking about a common theme that resonates so much between them? Like, it is just something that blows my mind that the universe has worked its mysteries in such a way that I can get to have this conversation with you in the first place.
No, it's really cool. And it's really cool for me too, because it shows that, yeah, there is this thing that can unite people all over the world. And whatever that passion is, whether it's content creation, whether it's, you know, video, TV, music, whatever, it's really cool to see that really does unify us. And in this day and age, I think focusing on things that unify us is really powerful. And I think, yeah, I don't think there's really a problem with motivation for all of us. I think we're all super motivated, and that's why it's so fun to talk to each other, and, you know, because we relate so much to that. And it's funny because it can go to the extreme of only working on your passion. And the thing is, I think to a certain extent, it is kind of that way. When I talk to other people within film and TV, the industry is kind of their life. And, you know, some people kind of like that. I think for me, I actually would much prefer that work is most of my life. And of course, I do other things too, but work is the main thing because I love what I do. And I never wanted that to be the case in a corporate job because I didn't love what I do. So I much prefer this balance of work life than what I had before, even though work is so much more now. But since it's my passion, it just feels right.
I hear you. So as we wrap up the episode, Pooja, any closing thoughts, and how does it feel to be on the Passion People podcast?
It feels really cool, and I think the thing I would definitely say to people is, if you're listening to this podcast, clearly you're passionate about something, and you know you're listening to different people who've been able to pursue their passions in different ways. And my advice would be, regardless of what you studied in college or you know, what experience you've had with your career so far, don't think that you're underqualified to pursue whatever it is that you're passionate about, because everyone has to start somewhere. And the only way you can build that up is by letting go of your ego and knowing, I'm not going to be amazing at this at first, because you might be amazing at your day job, but you won't be amazing at something the second you start it. So try to let that go. Don't listen to other people, and actually do it. You know, look at what your resources are around you and do it, because you don't want to regret not being able to do that. And also, if you're looking for another inspirational thing to watch, check out our show, because it has the exact same theme, which, like you said, is so serendipitous. It's the same thing about people following their dreams. And I think it's a powerful story a lot of people can relate to.
Absolutely. And for the people listening in, you'll find the links to the show and the YouTube channel and Pooja's production company all in the show notes. Thank you, Pooja, for being on the show. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
This is the last stop on this train. Everyone, please leave the train. Thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.
Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning into the show. We appreciate you taking the time out for this. If you like what you heard, please share this with a few friends and leave a review rating on your favorite podcaster. This will help more people learn about the podcast. Until next time, this is Kritika from the Passion People Podcast, wishing you a wonderful week ahead. Stay passionate. Cheers.